at 6:30 I'll call the You have to love Marion Council, full of surprises, and we've got a few in store tonight. I acknowledge that we're on the traditional lands of the Kaurna people, and we respect their elders past and present. I let everyone know that the audio of the meeting will be recorded, be available on the City of Marion website. I'm asking elected members if they foresee any conflict of interest with any item on the agenda. Councillor Hull, is it a confidential item? All right, well, when we come to that, you can make the appropriate declaration. Anyone else? Then I think we can proceed. So would someone like to move confirmation of the minutes? Moved Councillor Hutchinson, seconded Councillor Telfer. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously, thank you. Do we have communications tonight? It's on the agenda, but are we calling? What are we doing? It's just there to trick me, I think. But we'll move on. The next item on the agenda is the Tonsley Water Agreement, the open item. There's also a confidential item which is related. So it makes enormous sense for us councillors to deal with that item after the confidential items. So I seek leave of the meeting to deal with that item after all of the confidential items. If there's no objection, then we can do that. And that leaves us with deputations in relation to Seaview High School sport facilities, and there are two deputations, and we'll take them in the order in which we received them. So that would be Paul Hodgson from the Dover Square Tennis Club. So if you'd like to come forward, Paul, and you have 5 minutes, if possible leave a little bit of time if you like for questions, and Ms Dixon here will let you know how to work the microphone. Councillors have already had the agenda item with a range of proposals for additional facilities, but by all means, go ahead.
Okay, thanks very much. So my name's Paul Hodgson. I'm president of the Dover Square Tennis Club. We're established in 1932. We're a proud, medium-sized, family-friendly tennis club, associated with the Glenelg District Association. We've had a steady membership of about 150 members, and since we only have four courts at our location at the Broadway South Brighton, we've always had to either hire or lease additional courts to cater for our members. We've leased Grafton Street courts since 2011, using the courts on Saturdays for junior and senior competitions. And also during the week after school hours for tennis training. The playing surface at Grafton Street has deteriorated to a point where we're getting complaints from other clubs and the association, and thus we deem them unsuitable for competition tennis. We're now having to source alternative venues for this upcoming summer season. We believe upgrading the Seaview High School courts is a great project and will benefit the school and the community. We are keen to be involved for the following reasons. Number one, we are less than 5 minutes away. The improved facilities will help to grow our club to attract new members. And we'd like to work close with the school to offer students and the school community after-school tennis options. Thanks for your time.
Well, thank you, Mr. Hodgson. That does leave us time for questions. So any elected members have any questions about that? Councillor Gard?
From your ward, but Coastal Ward. I was just interested to know how you see the demand for courts. We're looking at decisions tonight that involve outlays that differ a little according to how much facility we provide. In that particular area, with your local knowledge, how do you see the demand trends over the next 20 years, say, from general feedback, understanding of the trends you know?
I'd say that the competition for Glenelg districts in the time that I've been there, it has shrunk. Percentages, I'm not 100% sure, but for our club in particular, we've had very steady membership. We've always had to hire four additional courts, and it does fluctuate up and down a little bit, but I would say we have really been steady for the last 5 years. But I do know that the competition is slowly becoming smaller, so that does mean that the sport is, I guess, shrinking a little bit.
Any other questions, Councillor Telfer?
The report talks about Weaver Street, Ascot Park in the short term. Can you... You mentioned that you're keen to be within 5 minutes of your club. Can you give us further idea of the impact of having to go that far to Ascot Park as a club?
Sure. What you find is for last-minute changes for the tennis club, having to send people to a different venue, like home venue, or people coming to the wrong courts. Generally, we need to, if they haven't been advised, to send them to the correct courts. And if they're a long way away, then that time can cause disruption to the game, to the starting time, and then it causes other issues. But also, we prefer to try and keep it close to our home courts, just for getting back after the games, for a social aspect.
Thank you. Any other questions? Councillor Hull.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to ask a question about what seems to be the biggest challenge to the council with this site. And I urge you to guide me if I'm encroaching into the confidential nature of this. It involves the current tennis courts that are off-site alongside the high school. Is there a preference, if you had the opportunity to advise council, would you prefer that site to be redeveloped, in other words, bring it up to an acceptable standard for your club to use, or would you prefer the embedded opportunity on the Seaview High site?
From my perspective, because we're a family-friendly club, we generally get lots of kids that come along to watch the tennis, and smaller ones. At the current venue, there's not a lot, like on the Grafton Street courts is the current off-site. There's not a lot of room behind the courts for kids to play, etc. So I think... for that reason, but also I do believe that there is issues with underneath the courts for longevity, that I think from what I believe that the surface at the school is a lot more structurally sound, so I think those courts will last or stand up for a longer time before they need to be resurfaced, etc.
Any further questions? Right, well, thanks, Mr. Hodgson. That's really useful. And now I'll ask Ms. Tranter, the principal of CB High, to come forward. And do we have a colleague of yours, Ms. Tranter?
No, I met Alice Fisher, so he's delegated to me.
That's fine. So You understand the process, I think, so we'll let you proceed.
Yes, thank you very much for allowing me to speak on behalf of my school community. I've been principal at Seaview High School. This is my seventh year. Seaview has a long-standing and ongoing commitment to developing and maintaining our strong community partnerships. I certainly view, as do my colleagues, the school as the heart of the community. And you would be aware that we don't have high fences and we don't have gates. And in fact, we invite our community in, both formally and informally, to enjoy and access the grounds and facilities. People regularly walk their dogs through our school, they jog on the oval, and we have also a number of regular arrangements that are more formal with local, regional and state clubs and associations. We regularly hire out our performing arts studios, our gymnasiums, our cricket nets, ovals and grounds. All of our current hire arrangements all meet departmental legal requirements. We have been approached by a number of other groups. However, our current lack of infrastructure and facilities, specifically freestanding toilets, club rooms and lighting, continues to impact on us being able to service more groups and our broader community. As a specialist tennis school, we've been using the Seacombe Heights Tennis Club facilities for over 10 years. In that time, over 1,200 students from our school have engaged in our tennis program, including international students who actually come from overseas for that program. Students have been placed into competitive clubs, tennis clubs in our local community, from Warridale, Nova Gardens, Happy Valley, Dover Square, obviously, Seacliff, South Bank, Morfitt Vale, Hallett Cove and Flagstaff Hill. We would like to be able to keep them playing more locally. 16 coaches from local clubs have been employed by the school to help us deliver our quality program. You know, you've heard the school currently subleases the court facility at Dover Square Tennis Club, and we've really appreciated the proximity. It's been an essential element in our development of our program, but it's increasingly evident that they no longer meet our requirements, and as you've heard, they're not meeting the club requirements. So the loss of this resource will impact not only on our students, it has been an active club and we are really confident it can be resurrected on our site. We're really keen to work with the council to ensure the continued excellence in our programs and to provide links to community clubs. We're strongly in favour of option one. We believe that the court upgrade, accompanied by the large autonomous club rooms, which includes the kitchen and toilet facilities, will better serve our community, your community, as well as meeting the increasing demands of our specialist sports students. We're really excited to have the opportunity to progress what has been a conversation for a number of years. We have sought, in principle, support from the Department of Education, and they are agreeing to work with us to match council contribution. We have some preferences about how that might unfold, and happy to talk about that. We would work with council and the department to make sure that whatever is built on site is absolutely accessible and obviously meets all standards and codes. We've already explored what those requirements might be, and are really happy to answer any questions that you have of me. But this has been an extensive consultation with the whole community of my school and some ongoing conversations over a period of years with the council, and I really thank them for their support in getting us to this position.
Thank you. Perhaps I could kick off with a first question, and it is a question of detail, but it's a pretty important one about access to the site. It's wonderful that, as background, 4 or 5 years ago, I think, there was a committee set up in the department to have more community use of school facilities.
Yep.
I've seen very little come of that other than fences go up around primary schools. But in relation to this one, how are you going to manage people who aren't related to school students coming onto the property? What sort of restrictions, what sort of physical barriers or time restrictions would you need to have?
The project, the School of Community Hubs, I'm not sure how that's situated with the change in the government, but it was certainly a priority with the last government, and there's still inaction, and there are significant precedents for it working and operating really successfully in other schools. From my own experience at a school where we shared a gymnasium with external providers, there were agreements that would be put in place about, you know, after school access or before school access, and there's certainly legal obligations that the department has already been very forthcoming in agreeing to work with us collaboratively with the council. Obviously, during the day, there would be a sense that we would like to have a priority access to it, if it's a facility on our grounds, but before 8 and after 4, we currently have an agreeable arrangement at Dover Square where their clubs are playing from 4 o'clock till 8 o'clock at night.
Other questions, members? Councillor Hull?
Questions. If club rooms were built on the school grounds, would there be any view of how consuming alcohol on the school grounds would be? This has happened elsewhere, so yeah. I thought I'd ask about this.
Again, there are precedents. There are obligations that we need to fulfil if we as a school are looking to provide access to liquor on the school grounds. How that might play out for an external provider, I would be seeking advice from the legal department in the department. But I would see that if it was a shared agreement, that there would be different protocols, particularly after school hours. I imagine there'd be some agreement that could be reached between the department and council, because it would be shared. It was department land, but if it's not a school function. But I would seek advice.
The other question I have is that over recent years, there's been a trend for schools to become secure enclaves, mm-hmm. Gated premises. Mm. And I'm just wondering that if council invests on your site, mm. and I do appreciate the gesture that's being made and the work that you're doing in the community, but I hope you don't mind me asking this question, that say if there was an arson attack on your school tonight and your department decided to follow what other schools have done in our city, how would that impact on council's investment on your site if it becomes a gated amenity?
The position of the courts, the proposed development, is accessible directly from Callum Grove, and if there was a gate that needed to be erected, there would be access through a gate to the facility, the same way we would have to negotiate the ongoing access to our gymnasium, which is used every night of the week by a community club, and the ovals are used every weekend by community clubs, so we would negotiate access. We have already provide access to internal facilities through security codes.
Other
so
questions?
There are protocols around, you know, accessing, but we do that already.
Thanks, Ms. Tranter. Councillor Telfer?
I'm wondering if you're comfortable with the actual tennis courts being the priority first and the club rooms the second stage as such?
Our preference would be to maximise the development with whatever money we're able to resource, and we as a school from our experience know that we are better off if we can stage projects so that they remain under a $100,000 project, so our facilities manager can manage the project without some of the external fees required by DIP2. Can I say that? It's recorded. we know that money can be consumed by external providers. I have direct experience with that. Yeah. So, yes, a stage project, Raylene, would be our preference as well.
All right. Any other questions? Well, then, thanks, Ms. Tranter. So we'll consider the matter this evening, I dare say. Now, members, it's a complicated agenda tonight because we have a number of confidential items and we have a number of business items that depend on the confidential items. I'm conscious of members of the public being here, and if we start on the confidential items, as I think we should, it'll mean asking people to leave for quite possibly an hour to an hour and a half, as an estimate. One option would be to deal with the to try and extract the Seaview High business, a confidential item, which you can see in the agenda, followed by the Seaview High School business item, dispatch that, and because we obviously know we have some interested parties present, and then launch into the confidential items after that. So I'm getting a few nods around the table, so with your leave, Council, we'll move to the confidential item relating to Seaview High School. There may be a few questions, but it shouldn't be too long to deal with that, and that gives the option of any of the Seaview High people remaining outside the chamber if they wish. So I have it listed as page 108 of the agenda. So there's a confidential motion relating to that. If anyone would like to move that, that's moved, Councillor Hutchinson, seconded, Councillor Telfer. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. So just for those who aren't familiar, what that means is we actually have to clear the chamber, apart from certain designated people, obviously councillors and some staff, but we're just going to deal with this relatively short confidential item. Then we're going to come back and deal with the actual decision-making about Seaview High School. So obviously you don't have to hang around, and I can't predict how long it'll take, but I'm thinking 5 to 15 minutes. I don't know. So on the screen, shortly we'll bring up the names of the staff members who are entitled to stay, but members of the public will have to ask you to leave the chamber now, please, and we'll obviously open the doors again once we've finished our confidential discussion.
I have emailed out about half an hour ago another motion, which is including that stage one, stage two idea about the tennis court. So I'd like to move number one, the proposed multi-purpose club room with a staging to prioritise the tennis courts, and I'm happy to speak to that.
Let's check that we have your motion on the screen.
Yes.
Go ahead, thank.
The focus over the last 8 or 9 years has been the tennis courts, and so I am really keen that we follow through on tennis and netball facilities, and that they don't get lost in the big project of looking at the overarching needs of the whole of Seacombe High offering, a Seaview High offering, including facilities that back up the ovals. So the preference from the school is to look at the larger facility that allows the multi-use of club rooms. I would have trouble with that, except that Dover Gardens has got its own clubs rooms at Dover Square, its main ones. So I see it appropriate that maybe at that particular ground in Seaview High they could share a multi-use club room. But I am excited that we are moving forward. There's been so much talk for so long, and the courts are so worn out. And this was part of the tennis facilities review, which I've known about for 10 years, and this is almost the last cab off the rank because it's a little bit bigger and harder than the others. So we look forward to applying, and it's not till next April, for an Office and of Rec and Sport grant, and that will help us to work with other players, other network people and the school to get this in place. And so we're excited to be taking one more step tonight.
Thank you. Just a question. Can I have advice from staff about when the report should come back if we're applying to Office of Rec and Sport in April or thereabouts? Should it come back in March or April or before or after? Or Ms. Masterman?
Through the Chair, the report could come back in February or March to go forward for that funding.
All right. Well, shall we say February 2019?
Yes, as the mover, I'm happy to put that extra date in there.
Thank you. I think the clarification helps. Is that seconded, Councillor Hutchinson? You wish to speak? Anyone speaking against or amending, Councillor Crossland? Is the right? Is there another speaker in favour, Councillor Byram?
Okay. Yep. I'm in support of the motion, and I understand what Councillor Crossland is saying about we haven't got the report back yet. But I believe that stating that it's a consideration to give the undertaking the option in two stages is not really confining us yet. It's still looking at that. Having been a liaison counsellor with the school in the start of this term, I know how much work they put in. I know how much they want to work with council. I know there has been a lot put into this project already. And I know how thorough they are with looking at things. And so I do support this, that we go ahead with looking at the report and the potential for staging it, but definitely looking at option one as a start point.
Anyone else speaking against? Question from Councillor Hull.
Mr. Mayor, I just wonder whether the mover and seconder could consider Councillor Crossland's comments, which really is in favour of this project, and robustly so, and expeditiously so. I often see this happen in council where there is an appetite to do this bigger and quicker, and it never gets picked up. So I just want to know whether the mover and seconder could possibly consider what Councillor Crossland said as to actually robustly and expeditiously carry out option one.
Well, that'll be up to the mover and seconder to respond in due course. Anyone else speaking in favour? Then I'll give Councillor Telfer the right of reply.
The intention is to have a well-planned program to go forward, and my hesitation initially about the multi-use club rooms was the whole issue of would tennis and netball be lost on the way. It is intended that the concept design is worked out. So when I talk to staff today and ask them for the words which they've put forward, they suggested that it was actual idea the staging over and above the idea of, I was looking at the word of installation. So staging is what they've used. It's an actual implementation. That's what I'm interested in. I'm interested in seeing the tennis and netball courts on the ground, which of course means the retaining walls need to be sorted. But obviously there has to be a design and plan before all that happens. So we do look forward to this happening. I can understand what Councillor Hull is saying, but I believe that we can design an overarching design without losing sight of the tennis and netball courts that were part of our facilities program, and we don't want to see them lost.
I'll put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, raise your hand. That's carried by majority. So, Ms. Trander and Mr. Hodgson, well, that's a big step forward. And you can go and report that back to your colleagues, players, teaching staff, etc. Now what we're going to do, as we said, was go back to the confidential items, which I think start at page 99. So if somebody would like to move the cover or motion to the Tonsley Water report, Councillor Hutchinson moved, Councillor Byram seconded. All those in favour? It's carried unanimously. So, folks, we've now got a series of motions which will be dealt with confidentially. Usually it's either legal or financial reasons. So it's going to be a bit dull for members of the public. You're invited to wait outside if you wish, but I suspect we'll be an hour to an hour and a half. You can always go out and get some dinner and come back. The doors will be open. But for the moment, I have to ask people to leave the room other than those who are named in the confidential motion.
Through the Chair, we had an excellent discussion on this matter 2 weeks ago at the General Council meeting. We were briefed to have a look at a legal review of the agreement. We also took the liberty of asking SCOSA to comment on our draft agreement as well. We've received some feedback from Norman Waterhouse, who incidentally were also the authors of the standard SCOSA clauses, and we've incorporated all those things that we thought was wise. None of them have changed the intent of the agreement at all. And I think where we are now is we've got good value for the offer in front of us and a sound agreement.
Is that seconded? Councillor Byram, wish to speak?
Thank you, Your Worship. Yes, I fully support what Councillor Pfeiffer has said, and I thank him also for the questioning he's done and the meetings I've been in with him. It's been a great learning curve and really good to get involved with this and understanding of what it's all about. So I do thank him also for that. I thank the staff for all the work they've put in on this, and I think this is an exciting time for us for moving forward. So thank you.
Anyone opposing? Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour? All those against? Carried by majority. Thank you. And so, and that short debate was really the tip of the iceberg after a huge amount of work and devotion by Mr. Ricketts and Mr. Lyons. So well done. Page 123. So, we've got some designs back for Bandon Terrace Reserve after some healthy consultation. Who would like to move accordingly? Councillor Crossland.
Your Worship, if I may, I'd like to move it, but I'd just like to ask a couple of questions first.
Of course.
Maybe a slight amendment. So while staff's coming up, look, this is a great opportunity. I'm really pleased that we're looking at pretty much implementing the first natural landscape design down at Bandon Terrace, and also the opportunity for ongoing cost savings. Members may remember that Bandon Terrace was the main reserve in the south, where we had a lot of community feedback regarding the closing down of a lot of the irrigation, because we used to irrigate pretty much the whole reserve. So it was a very large green expanse, so by doing a project like this we can reduce the irrigation with $27,000 worth of savings. That's mainly through water costs every year, and hopefully improve the vegetation in that area and the overall look of the reserve. The only question I have, Your Worship, for staff is I just thought the ongoing $5,000 per annum for operating cost was slightly high. I do believe that it will take probably 4 or 5 years to get that vegetation established and looking great. But again, I'm speaking only from my personal experience, which is why I'd just like to clarify with staff. Often when we get the vegetation up and running, needs very little maintenance but will need some renewal as time goes on. And I just wanted to ask the question, if I amended point 3 to be an allocation for the first 5 years for $5,000 per annum and then ongoing 2014, is that something staff could work with, and then it would be obviously reviewed and to see how it was going after that time, rather than just leave it in the budget infinitum?
Through the Chair, we'd be happy to review that at the five-year mark. It is intended that throughout the maintenance of those first 5 years, we'll hopefully develop efficiencies in that. There are additional costs in working through those initial 5 years as we change the maintenance regime on that site. But, yeah, the intention is that over time we will develop efficiencies.
Thank you, Your Worship. Because as we do more of these, we not only will we be saving in irrigation, but we will hopefully have more maintenance time, because staff won't be cutting grass as often. They'll be able to do other work. So I'd like to amend point 3 just to add the words in per annum for the first 5 years for operating and maintenance, and then the remainder would stay the same. And I'm sure that we'll hear back if 2,000 per annum is not enough to keep that reserve looking.
Just asking staff, happy with that wording? Yep, very good. Thanks, Councillor.
I'll move that way then. Thank you, Your Worship.
Councillor Byram, just a second.
I know that Councillor Gard is very interested in this one, but in his place I would like to second this. Yes, it is something in that area that it's exciting, and we do look forward to seeing where this is going to go as a first one, so let's hope there's more. Yes.
Very well. Anyone speaking against? Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Thank you. So, on to Meals on Wheels, Edwardstown. Moved Mr. Edwardstown himself, Councillor Pfeiffer.
I'll certainly take that as a compliment. I move this as written. Yeah, I think it's a reasonable lease, all things considered. I think especially given the service that these guys provide to the community and indeed keep a lot of community members alive. I think it's a wonderful organisation doing a great thing, and I think it's a fair and reasonable lease.
Councillor Telfer to second.
Certainly this group have worked hard and long, and we are grateful for what they do, and yes, we would want such a lease in place.
Anyone speaking against? Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you. So we go on to the draft public consultation policy. Now I inform members that there's a meeting organised for later this week to discuss the Glandore Coastal Walkway, as I call it, down at Hallett Cove, the Coastal Walkway, and this consultation policy seems to be linked with that. So I suggest deferral of this item. Councillor Crossland?
Happy to defer. The other question I had, Your Worship, and again, this can just be taken on board by staff, is we've had ongoing engagement and consultation surveys where we get still one or two members of the community respond, and they're usually the ones that are directly affected rather than a good cross-section of engagement. And I just wondered if when we get a report back, we could actually get, and I'll credit Councillor Pfeiffer for this, for first alluding to this idea, where we can actually explore the idea of having a community panel or a pool of 100 residents. And I don't care if we have to pay them or give them a reduction off their rates or theatre tickets, something to guarantee we're getting a good cross-section of public response to our surveys and engagement.
What you might call a focus group.
Exactly.
So that's an idea to be pursued, but if we are having a meeting on Thursday, is a two-week deferral adequate, or should it be till the September meeting? Mackenzie. Well, that's one less thing to worry about. So 2 weeks or 4 weeks? Looking to staff, any guidance? Also, I want to say 4 weeks, September the 11th or August the 28th. Thank you.
Well, September the 11th?
September the 11th it is. 9/11. Is that seconded? Councillor Gard? All those in favour? It's carried unanimously. Thank you. Now, I think we're on page 139. The new gathering of metropolitan councils, to be called the, not the Metroc, but the GAROC, the Greater Adelaide Region, something or other of councils. So this is to see if anybody wants to nominate for the position on the GAROC. Councillor Byram, you do? Is there any reason why? I don't suppose Councillor Byram can nominate herself, can she? She can? All right. Yeah, no conflict of interest. What the hell?
She can nominate.
Yeah. And move the motion.
She can't move the motion.
Well, no, that's what we're talking about. She's expressed interest, so it's for someone else to move the motion if anyone wants to. So that would be as printed, except for Councillor Byram's name to be inserted instead of triple X. Councillor Hull?
I asked a question along this vein recently about our representative on any LGA position as to how this council's portrayed and how those people vote and speak, allegedly representing us. And this is another body, regardless of who that nominee might be, where this city will actually be represented by that person, and that person would put a position forward on multiple issues about how this city feels about those issues. And I just wonder how that representative would get guidance from us as to what our position is, because this could actually influence decision making that could impact on us quite a lot. So I'd like to have an answer to that.
What I might do is turn to Councillor Byram in a moment and ask if she'd like to give
it's not just Councillor Byram, whoever it might be. It could be anybody, it could be you.
There are two, you're right, there's a general issue and there's the specific issue before us. Yeah. In relation to the specific issue before us, I was going to suggest one means of proceeding might be to invite a personal explanation to see if the person wants to, in effect, put their position. But in general terms, of course, we don't have a constraint on the delegate that we send off to LGA general meetings. We have a deputy board member. There's no particular constraint on how they vote, etc., from us. We could do that, and some councils, I know, do that. They go through the LGA general meeting agenda. They might spend a whole day on it. I think some of them probably do, given the amount of content in it. And they fix their position on every agenda. And that's why sometimes when I go to the local government meeting, if there is an amendment, for example, to be moved, or even a Marion Council motion that's been put up, I almost feel like I'm wasting my time, because everyone just looks down at their most delegates look at their sheet and say, oh, whether I'm voting for or against, I'm actually not listening to anyone. I'll just vote accordingly. So it's preset a bit like a political party meeting in some respects. And the best debates are usually when somebody moves an amendment and suddenly nobody knows how to vote, so they actually start thinking. So that's just to give you the idea. It's up to us. If we think we have the time and the desire to go through every LGA meeting agenda, we could have a formal council position on every motion. Personally, I don't think there would be a lot of value in that, but it is open to council. It could be subject of a motion if you wish, Councillor Hull. Look, in terms of who we send along to these things, I thought a bit more about your question, Councillor Hull, when this issue last came up. In terms of Councillor Byram attending as deputy member to the LGA board, I'm usually, as mayor, the delegate to the general meetings. I have been your delegate, I think, for every general meeting this term of council. I think Councillor Byram and I would be largely congruent on the way that we would represent the council and argue the cause. And possibly the only difference being that I am mindful of our desire in 2015 to distance ourselves from the LGA, and we achieved a lot of benefit from that, and I am consistently sceptical about the LGA in the way they claim to be providing services to councils. Councillor Byram, and I'm happy to let her speak for herself, may be more partial to the LGA, may have a more favourable view of the LGA. And on that basis, council might determine different delegates to the general meetings or whatever. That's the only real sort of policy difference I can think of. I hope that answers your question. It's not a simple one. I do want to come back to you, Councillor Byrom, but I just want to make sure you're happy, Councillor Hull.
Well,
but it's not debate time, it's just question time.
Well, there is another question that can be just taken on notice, that whoever this appointed person is, we may not even get to know which way they voted on certain issues. You know, like, there doesn't seem to be much accountability with this appointment in terms of the individual's representation of us.
In response to that, I think the former practice, Ms. McKenzie can advise me, but the former practice was that there was a comprehensive report on the motions passed at general meetings of the LGA. We stopped that practice for a while, and that was by council agreement. And recently I understood that there was interest in what happened there, and so we've reinstituted that. But it just comes up as a very formulaic report in the agenda. If we had more time, I would relish the opportunity to give you the highlights and the many low points of the general meetings, but we rarely seem to make time either at forum or in general council for that to occur. But I welcome it if you want to, you know, quiz the delegate of the day after those meetings. Maybe we should make more time for it. Now, before any motion, I'm going to invite Councillor Byrom to respond, but are there any other questions about this motion or process? Councillor Hutchinson?
Could the staff please advise whether there are sitting fees related to this position, and if so, what are they?
Ms. McKenzie? Councillor Pfeiffer?
Sorry, I just need a second. Yeah, look, I know that it is covered in the LGA's letter to us in regard to this, but it does seem odd, the timing of it, like right before a local government election. And I know it says in the terms of reference for this committee, it says that if the member ceases to be a council member, then they cease to be part of that committee. It just seems like a very strange timing to be doing something like this and calling for members of the committee where, you might get two of them, you might get half a dozen, you might get all of them not actually filling the committee in 3 months' time.
That, in turn, this is a reflection of the timing of the reform of the LGA constitution. I find it puzzling, maybe suspicious, that it's done in a council election year. I don't really understand the urgency when next year would have made more sense. And, of course, we've got the constitution's being amended in two parts. We've done the first part. That got an 80% approval. And the second part comes up in the 24th of August meeting in the middle of the election when we're having our next general meeting. Or that, at any rate, the last week of August. Councillor Ms. McKenzie might be able to add something.
Through the chair, the mayor's right. So the constitution was passed at the last meeting, and then there is what they're referring to as the member proposition, which is being adopted at the October meeting. So the member proposition must be read in conjunction with the constitution for it to make any sense.
I've worked on well over 200 constitutions, lost count, but I've never struck any process like this. Councillor Crossland. All right, so let's focus on the motion before us. Bear in mind it's a nomination. There's still an election process to undergo. This is for a nomination. So before Councillor Byrom leaves the room, she's expressed interest, and I've made some comments there that Councillor Byrom may wish to respond to, but by way of a personal explanation, please go ahead.
Thank you, Your Worship. So, yes, it is an interesting, just if I can just talk to the timing, because that was discussed at the board quite extensively about the timing. This is similar to timings that they've done in the past in that it is a two-year term for a board, and it alternates with the president of the board being from the country and from metropolitan area. So we're going into a stage of going to a president from country area. What they did discuss at length was that they did want to get the right people onto that board and the right president for this next year, and that to have it after new councillors are elected and they don't know the people, that they felt it was better for an outgoing council proposition to look at who should be in those positions. Yes, there is the danger of people not being there. The GAROC is the thing that is replacing the MLGG, or the mayor's meetings in town. So it's going down in size, so it is not so cumbersome. The country areas with the SAROC, they will have a representative from several council areas. They regionalise it. We haven't done that in the metropolitan area. There is a lot of talk about that perhaps happening, but it hasn't happened yet with the constitutional revision. But we need to look at what representation there is. One of the things I will say with the questions that was being asked about what the person who's representing there and what they would say, and I agree with His Worship on that we've agreed, when we've been at meetings, we've agreed on our approach in dealing with the LGA. The LGA has acknowledged all that Marion has done and has said, and they actually are thankful for what we have done and with moving for change. And I suppose the one big difference I have is that, yes, we have been asking for those changes. And I think we can bash at that door for so long, but then I think we need to have someone on the inside to help with that change. But I do see that as something that is coming from all of us and not just one person. So that is why I'm putting my hand up at this stage for that consideration. Because I think it is important that we do have a say from Marion as to what happens in the LGA.
Proceed to the motion, so you may wish to leave the room. Do I have somebody to move? Councillor Gard, move as printed with the Councillor Byram's name. Do you wish to speak?
Yes, I second everything that Councillor Byram's just said. There seems to be real practicality. It would be great for us to have representation. I do glean and believe that the relationship into the LGA is on the improve. We can make it happen faster and better with good representation. Obviously the downside is what happens if the election result corrupts our nomination process, but we have to just take one step at a time. So I do commend Janet's nomination.
Is that seconded? Councillor Bilescu? No comment? Anyone speaking against? Question, Councillor Hull? Opportunity to speak?
Has answers about the timing, about how it's better to work with the people we know now than the ones that we might not get a favourable outcome from later. That worries me a bit. The other thing is that there are important issues that are voted on by these groups that we do have a position on. I'll just give you one example, rate capping. How do we know that we're actually going to have that, our view on rate capping conveyed through to the LGA in those forums? As an example, there's probably lots of other examples, but it all seems a bit loose for me, and the timing and the explanation given just worries me even more than I was before I even asked that question.
I'm taking that as your contribution in the debate. I wasn't able to really discern a question, Councillor. Thank you. Councillor Willis, you seconded the debate, Councillor, so I'll just leave it to the floor if there are any other speakers. If not, then I'll put it to a vote. All those in favour? All those against? It's carried by a majority. Thank you. Please invite Deputy Mayor Byram back in. And Now, policy documents, page 161. Just one little query here. What happened to the community gardens one? You know, that was one that had come up before. Council Westwood had queries. We took it to a forum, but it hasn't come back.
No, through the chair, it hasn't yet. So that was originally on the list for one of the policies to be rescinded. So we haven't included it in this group, because this group is ones that are policies that are either being adopted or revised.
Oh, thank you. Now I understand the distinction. Look, members, what I put forward on the last occasion was that if any member wants to discuss any of these policies, and I think all but one of them actually warrant further discussion by us, then I think we should have that discussion either at an informal meeting or at least with standing orders suspended. And rather than run out the rest of the meeting time with that, my suggestion to you would be to move this item to the end of the meeting, and then we get through what we get through. Because it may be a short discussion, it may be a long discussion. So with your leave, getting a few nods around the table, with your leave, we'll move that item to the end of the meeting. And that would bring us to Woodend Primary School. It's great to see that we've actually got some positive progress on this one at last. Councillor Byram, to move.
Thank you, Your Worship. I'd like to move this one. And yes, finally we have, as you said, got some movement happening. So yes, as it's written. Thank you.
Is that seconded? Councillor Crossland, nothing further?
Just to say well done to staff. I attended one of the meetings, and yes, staff and the CEO for making it happen. Thank you very much.
Anyone against? Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you. Tricky issue, but we've done very well in achieving that outcome. Now, the questions on notice register just needs to be noted. Moved Councillor Telfer, seconded Councillor Byram. All those in favour? Carried. That was carried unanimously. That was moved as printed. On to page 194. Councillor Hutchinson, single-use plastics.
Yes, thank you, Worship. I thought I'd jump on the... it's recyclable, Councillor Hull, and if you read the full... Sorry? Yeah, well, we should be banning it.
If we could let Councillor Hutchinson get on with it.
Thank you, Your Worship. I've been following to an extent the war on waste, which I'm sure many of us have heard about or at least have seen. And obviously there's a continued push for single-use plastics to be eliminated from society. We know that single-use plastics are entering our food bowl, particularly in the oceans through fish and whatnot, and we're all consuming it. It is concerning for me, thinking about the future and thinking about my children as well. So, look, I'm not trying to take a fully green tree hugger approach with this. I'm just making a really practical decision around our environment and what we're eating and consuming going forward for the health of society more so. Members, there's two motions that are in front of you. One of them is my original one, which is to ban all single-use plastics, including but not limited to drinking straws, utensils, plates and food packaging at all council-run events with immediate effect. This is to, show some leadership in the community on the matter. The alternative that you can see on page 195 suggests that non-recyclables be put out there. My concern with the non-recyclables version of the motion is that there's still recyclable plastic plates and things that could be considered recyclable but then aren't, and I think it's just clearer to put down that we ban all single-use plastics in a simple form. Happy to test that one, and if it fails, I would at least accept the second one as a backup. I certainly endorse the adequate use of recycling bins for bottled water and drinking containers at all council events. I think we should be doing it anyway, but to increase that would be great as well. So that's a motion I'm putting forward, members. I think the straw issue is where it started, but I certainly know it at council events it can get a bit hectic with lots of plastic being put out there. So that's my motion.
Thank you. Before I call for a seconder, Ms Dixon would like to make a comment.
Through the chair, just wanted to the motion that Councillor Hutchins has put through. We may just want to amend it slightly because, as it reads now, it would include single-use plastics such as food preparation. So if you know, there was a council event and someone was bringing in prepared food, or they have cling wrap, if we apply this motion as it stands, it would we would need to ban all single-use plastic. So the suggested motion of staff have put forward is try to make it clear it's around single-use plastic that's used to serve food or water, which cover your plastic plates, plastic cups, cutlery. So probably just wanted to bring members' attention to that there may need to be some refinement.
Take some questions before a seconder. Councillor Byram?
Yes, my question is specifically around that, but it's both types of the motion. So my real concern was how we were going to address the health and hygiene aspect of the gloves that people have to wear for preparing food is a single-use plastic. And so I wondered if we were going to then be having problems with other aspects of our policies that we have for health and hygiene with preparing food. But even in the second one, bans the sale of food and drinks served with non-recyclable, if you're talking about it being served on, but then are you going to include the cutlery and stuff, or is it going to be perceived as still the gloves are affected by that, the way that is worded, because people are serving the plates with the gloves on. So the wording, I think, on either of them has to be looked at.
Right, I'll ask Ms Dixon for a comment, but you talk about plastic gloves. I thought people used rubber for that sort of thing, but maybe I'm old-fashioned. Ms Dixon?
Through the chair, we hadn't considered gloves. We could work on the wording. I suppose it's the trying to understand what's the intent by council. So if it's at events around plastic cutlery, cups, plates, then I think the original motion needs some refinement, because as it stands, it would mean if a vendor came and they had plastic bags that they brought their supplies in, they had promotional material with single plastics, if we were to apply the resolution as it stands, it would be very restrictive. My understanding and the communication we'd had with Councillor Hutchinson, it was mainly about the cutlery, plates, and if that's the intent, that's what we're trying to achieve in the suggested resolution.
All right. Well, that's a question and answer. Councillor Hutchinson, I'll leave it until, unless you want to change the motion, I'll...
Yeah, I think it might be useful to clarify the sale and gifting of single-use plastics.
Right. So after the word ban, the sale and
or
provision?
Yep, provision. Well, provision, it's more like handing it out. So if people...
To me, that's providing.
Sorry?
That's providing.
The sale or gifting.
All right, gifting it is.
So you're either paying for it or you're getting it for free. And
order.
I think that'll cover us.
Order. The sale and gifting of is inserted after ban. So take that as the motion, since we haven't got to a seconder yet. Now, Councillor Velescu had a question. well, rather than changing it, why don't you let someone else second it and then move an amendment if you are still within the spirit of the motion? So, is there a seconder? Councillor Telfer, thank you.
I'm pleased to second this as an initial step in my mind. I'm very proud that a month ago I raised in the libraries that plastic cups were being given away regularly, and they've now been replaced by paper ones, so there's a little one. But I was just concerned at the Landcare Day that plastic cups were being given away there, and I was really quite amazed given the nexus between natural resources and I would have thought that that group of people would have felt strongly about using giveaway, throwaway plastic. So I know it's cheap and easy, but I believe it's time to struggle with this and set a standard. And the community, given the program War on Waste, are now thinking about this and espousing it, so the timing's right.
Now, it's been moved and seconded. I'll come back to Councillor Velescu if he has an amendment. Councillor, thank you for that, but I'm going to rule that out of order as an amendment because I would say it's negativing the motion and replacing action with a report and consideration. So I think that is actually a negative. So I couldn't allow that as an amendment. Councillor Hull.
Question.
Sorry. I'll come back to you, Councillor Hull. I had thought you'd finished your speaking rights, but no, you have more time, so go ahead.
Identify some of those steps and they haven't been identified. So I think there would be broad support for us, but it's actually how we're going to do it and also engaging with some of those stakeholders. So for example, there might be some single-use plastics that are used part of that. We could disrupt people's business models, and without providing a bit of warning, especially people that are part of our to provide our services. Now, don't get me wrong, I am aware that, you know, there's a plume of plastic the size of Texas in the Pacific Ocean, that the plastic breaks down to small enough bits to actually get in our food that we won't know about, and it also is wreaking havoc on hormones. And you know, it could be the situation where the premise of the movie Children of Men, where people aren't, you know, the fertility's dropped, could actually become true based on the effect that plastics can have on our community. So it is very serious. But I think in order for it to be successful, we actually have to implement it properly. And that's why I think we need to step back a bit and proceed with a little bit of caution with some aspect.
Question and or speaking opportunity, Councillor Hull. Then Councillor.
Mr Mayor, I made the observation earlier about the drinking bottle alongside the mover. Is that still part of the motion, that those drinking bottles will be prohibited for issue by the council?
At council-run events, but I suppose general council is council-run event.
So, given the staff recommended that there be some exclusion to that, that's still part of the motion.
Yes, and it's curious, isn't it? Because I've never seen these in front of us before, but we've all got one tonight. No. Normally we just have a jug of water.
No, the, only the key people, apparently. Well, Mr. Mayor, just the, a question about those drink bottles. In the report, it talks about how, particularly in South Australia, it's adequately addressed by the deposit scheme, that they are actually collected very well. You don't see them on the roadside. Or would that be a fair comment, that those drink bottles are pretty much recycled quite well? And will we see a ban of this at council meetings if this motion succeeds? Paper-covered mints? Okay. All right. Well, okay. Well, given and I'm speaking to the motion now, given the lack of exclusion for plastic water bottles, I'd have to be reluctant to support it because... At all of our events that we hold, if water is required, it's just something we do, is give out bottles of water. The fact that the bottles are easily recycled, and in fact people can get money for them, I think that that should be part of the motion. Given that it's not part of the motion, I can't support it, because it would be an unfair... expectation of our council staff to run community events. Like, what are we going to do? Have a water fountain nearby? And, like, you know, there's got to be some practicalities of it. In extreme weather, and, you know, we do get that, the South Australian Emergency Service pass out bottles of water at the airport, for example. I think there's some things we have to live with. Maybe that could be a focus. But water bottles, given their recycling rate, no. So as much as it's well-intended, Mr. Mayor, and I applaud the councillor for bringing it forward, can't support it.
Yes, I suppose in Grandma's day they had bottles of water in glass. But anyway, Councillor Pfeiffer, you had a question?
Yeah, I think Councillor Hull's pretty much covered mine, but it is exactly on the same lines. I applaud the motion, but I think, and the staff motion... covers it adequately, because, you know, these things, this one wasn't mine by the way, they are recyclable. Yes, they're technically single use. I mean, in my family we had a lot more than a single use out of them, but technically they're single use, but they are recyclable, and I think most of these would end up in a container deposit place. So I think if they're not included, and also the safety issue of not providing water, you know, plastic cups, I hate the things, but in summer, it's a safety issue to not provide a plastic cup. So I think without doing that, it's a great motion, but it's just unfortunately not worded quite right.
Yeah, I'm just really echoing the concerns around the room.
There's no need to, of course.
I saw this on the news. I guessed wrongly about who would bring it forward. But I thought at one of the councils they just went for straws, and then some others. So I just wonder, maybe we should look at how they managed to look at targeting straws and how that was successful, and maybe review it. I also pick up on Councillor Telfer's point where you look like you've got a paper cup, like the ones at McDonald's, but they're plastic lined. They're still not recyclable. Have we got enough staff to police this? Go around checking the plastic in every bit of... You know, plate, straw, cup, to make sure it's got no plastic in it.
Through the chair, that's where the suggested motion by staff is suggesting we do it at major council events. The advice staff give is the vendors that we use for those events are moving towards moving away from single-use plastics for serving of food or drinks, and then continuing to have bottled water and have recycling provision for that. We feel that's a more achievable motion that meets the intent of the original motion.
Maybe that would be the way to go.
Councillor Crossland, did you want to move an extension of time while you're...
I'll move an extension of time to the end of this item, Your Worship, only.
Very well. Can we do that while we're in the middle of something else?
Yeah, we can.
There is one more time critical item, being the next one.
Okay, I'll move there to the end of the next item then, Your Worship.
Is that seconded? Has to be someone who has... Oh, Councillor Pfeiffer didn't speak, so you can second that motion. He only asked a... Oh, no. Six more tackles. All right. Seconded Councillor Pfeiffer. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. So, Councillor... Yeah, Councillor Cosson.
Very quickly, look, if we did have the option of maybe selecting vendors at major events that only used recyclable products, I think I would definitely support that.
Councillor Hutchinson to close the debate.
Can we seek leave of the meeting, Your Worship, the mover and seconder, to remove single-use to non-recyclable plastics? Because the intention is clear. We're a listening council. We've heard the representatives speak, and we think that will generate more success amongst our colleagues. I'm seeking leave of the meeting, Your Worship. Procedural. Unless anyone objects.
Well, look, I'm not accepting the variation because I don't think it's fair on other members to do that when you're at the point of closing the debate, because they've been debating on a different premise. So, reluctantly, I don't think that should happen. But I think what might happen is that if this is defeated, I'd invite Councillor Hutchinson, you to come back with a slightly different worded motion that, given the debate tonight, and you might have more success if indeed this motion doesn't get up tonight. So would you otherwise like to close the debate?
Sure. Thank you, Your Worship. So members, as you heard, certainly Councillor Telfer and I were listening to all your comments and taking that on board. Certainly, there was a couple of comments made that I'd like to touch on. Certainly, changing the business model of who we procure is the intention of the motion, and you will manage it through procurement of these vendors at your events. It is not the case of us just saying, yeah, that's our rule, you better abide by it. It's part of the procurement process. So to hear that we're going to change the business model, yeah, that's what we're going to do. That's the intention of it. And in terms of plastic cups for water, I mean, there's other cups available. They don't have to be plastic. They can be something that's a light cardboard type product that's recyclable. There's a coffee shop that I go to in the city. The whole cup is recyclable. Even the lid is biodegradable. So it's good. So I feel guilt-free about getting my takeaway coffee without having one of those washable cups. That makes me a little bit more comfortable with it. So, members, I'm happy to put the motion back to you with the change from single use to non-recyclable, but the rest of it remains. So, at this point, you have to vote on the motion that's in front of you.
All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, motion is not carried. So we'll move on to the next item, and indeed Councillor Hutchinson may come back with another motion accordingly. Next item was brought in by the Mayor. Straightforward, I think, in terms of the motion and the supporting information. In terms of the staff comments, I can just add that for information that I had a chat with Mr Clark today. The venue hire, of course, is paying money to ourselves. The advertising can be at least cut in half by using our existing fortnightly ad in the Messenger. So that probably should be half of what it is, Mr Clark advised me today, or it could be at any rate. But otherwise, I'll... Councillor, question from... Yep. I'll take the question, Councillor Hull.
With this event, is there any chance of this becoming politicised not in terms of party politics, or you never know who's going to turn up, but in terms of local government elections as well. We've already got a well-known position on this. There hasn't been any community disquiet.
Councillor, so I think you might be speaking in the debate, which you're very welcome to do.
I'll get to that, but I just want to know if you think there's any chance that this could become politicised.
I'm going to leave members to judge that for themselves in the debate. So I'll put the motion. Is it seconded? Councillor Crossland, did you wish to speak?
I'll just have a stab at answering Councillor Hall's question. Look, the LGA perfectly rightly or wrongly took a position on this, even at the time of the beginning of a state election, and made it a political issue. I think we have already put our position forward and we've maintained that position all the way through. I think is where this gives us an opportunity is at the moment the things that I read or the things that have been put forward by the LGA have been fairly one-sided, and I think as long as this is a forum where we have open representation from both sides, and it gives people the opportunity to look at the facts rather than the spin from maybe one person they bring over from New South Wales would be beneficial.
Anyone speaking against question and also a speaking opportunity? Councillor Hull.
Has anybody in our community approached any elected member or the administration complaining about the council's well-known position on rate capping? I'm just wondering what's instigating this public forum when, from what I can see, the community are largely happy with the position that we've taken, given that they're getting a very low rate increase and we're still delivering major projects and so on and so forth. So what's instigated this, apart from us creating some sort of venue to have some discourse about the LGA? I'm just wondering what's brought this on, or is it simply an opportunity to have a platform before the council elections? I really don't know what's behind this.
I'll address that in closing the debate. So call for any other speakers in favour. Councillor Hutchinson.
Thank you, Your Worship. I've been quite vocal on this matter online. I think it's good that as elected members we check in with the community. I don't think we do enough of that, and things that are topical and of interest to them, because certainly I think there's members of the community that actually don't understand the rate debate that's going on. They hear bits and pieces and they don't fully understand it. So I think it's good to A, educate, and B, check in with our constituents.
Anyone else speaking against? Then I'll put, before I put the motion, I'll just address Councillor Hull's remarks. It is what it says. So I have actually had discussions with people that have assumed that all councils are in the same boat and that we want unlimited capacity for rate rises. Per the LGA position. The proposal here is to have a forum where there are arguments for and against, factual discussion about the process and a promotion of Marion Council's position, because I don't think it's a matter of people disagreeing with it, it's about people not knowing what it is. All right, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? All those against? Carried by majority. Thank you. I'll declare the meeting closed.